Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. This Monday, October 28th.
We got the best one yet for you, folks.
Best Snacks Daily we've ever done. What's going on?
Three awesome stories. Airbus, Budweiser, and Waste Management.
Giving them away right now. What's going on first here?
Airbus is having itself a year.
Just got
promoted to first class in the airplane industry.
We're looking at the anti-Boeing. No peanuts in this one. Peanut free.
Second story is Budweiser. Its parent company, AB InBev,
yep,
is having a Budpocalypse.
This is serious. The stock dropped 11% Friday. Not a happy hour.
That's a big company to lose 11%.
It was actually really significant.
Third and final story. Waste Management takes out the trash and can also take us out on a date.
They could paint your front porch at this point.
It's a public stock that's up 26% this year. Just announced earnings.
We're going to look at the recycling issue, which is now an issue.
Waste Management does recycling.
All right, now before we jump into all that, people, we got to talk passwords, password sharing. What's going on here?
Well, this month, not this month, next month, November,
true,
two new video streaming networks come out.
And you're not going to have to share a password anymore. No more calling mom and dad where you know what goes on there. They never remember.
No.
They no idea.
My dad has texted my brothers and me at least 30 times, boys, what's the password?
My mom just does a variation of her middle name pretty much all the time. It's like Alice Al, Alice ish, and then a random birthday.
Here's the deal, Snackers. Disney Plus, which we're all excited about, comes out November 12th. And Apple TV Plus comes out Friday, November 1st.
But that's not just happening in a vacuum, because if you own a Verizon-related like wireless plan, you're getting 1 year of Disney Plus for free.
And if you buy an Apple device, you get 1 year of Apple TV Plus for free.
They're giving these things out. It's like Oprah style. You get this, you get that, you get this, because guess who else is doing this? T-Mobile.
Yeah, T-Mobile's going to be offering Quibi. That's a story we covered last week.
And then AT&T, they're going down hard on HBO. They're going to be giving out HBO Max.
The only streaming network that doesn't have a date.
You know, they're at the ball. They're looking around. They're kind of pretending they're talking to themselves and they're occupied, but they're solo.
Casey and JoJo is about to play, and you're going to have to do a slow dance with somebody.
They're walking to the bathroom because we're talking about Netflix.
Netflix does not have a sugar daddy wireless or phone company that's going to start paying the bills.
Everyone else does. And these aren't just sugar daddy wireless phone company situations. We're going to give them a specific name.
When Verizon decides that it's going to give you a year of Disney Plus for free, they're hoping that Disney Plus makes you a Verizon customer. You know what we're calling this?
That's a promo puppy.
It's a promo puppy.
Sounds like a profit puppy. Not really. It's a promo puppy.
Disney Plus is Verizon's promo puppy. Apple TV Plus is Apple's promo puppy.
Big month for the promo puppies. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We
spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get some legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Budweiser owner AB InBev just lost $16 billion in market cap value.
It's because of a Budpocalypse.
This is a serious situation. How many, by the way, $16 billion, that's like a lift in a quarter?
Yeah, it lost a lift in a quarter in market value, which is like all the shares of AB InBev exist in the world. It lost that much value.
Jack and I are just trying to get home. It's Friday, and next thing we know, Budweiser stock had dropped 11%. Their sales had barely budged up last quarter, 2.7%, and then the profits? Forecasting, not so much.
No, the fourth quarter is going to be bad.
No,
the third quarter was bad.
Wasn't fun.
Not a good time for AB InBev. And what? This is almost a side note.
Yeah, this is kind of a hilarious situation.
AB InBev is like the most global company we can even think
of. They're like that one kid who shows up mid-year at your school and they're like, hey, this is John. He can speak 12 languages.
Oh, welcome in. Hello. Buen venido.
They have beer brands across the globe.
True. So true.
When you order a beer, they're like, what language do you want your beer in?
They don't even waste time on this thing.
In China, though, the volume of beer sold by AB InBev dropped by 6%.
We thought this was hilarious. We looked into it further. Pretty funny, the situation going on.
A new Chinese law limits the amount you can drink after 2 a.m.
Yeah, they're not serving it anymore after 2 a.m. And now, apparently a lot of beer is getting drunk past 2 a.m.
Which is funny, because in America, every bar closes at 2,
right,
with one exception.
New York City.
And Las Vegas.
Everyone who like lived in New York City like us right after school, they go and visit their buddies in Boston. Like,
your bars here close at like 11.
Yeah, cute bar, closes at 12.
Meanwhile, Jack and I are like, go home and cook on a Saturday night at 6 p.m. We're in bed by 9.
That's true.
It's
how times have changed.
New reality. But let's get back to the Budweiser.
Yeah. The bigger issue is the U.S. market. This is Bud's home market. Anheuser-Busch used to be based in St. Louis, Missouri.
Very true.
It got acquired by InBev.
Very true.
It's AB InBev.
It's the biggest beer company in the world. And
let's talk about market share.
Right. Because that's where we're seeing the Budpocalypse, where the market share is.
Market share is like who owns what percentage of beer sold in this market.
So let's say there were 100 beers sold because market share is out of 100. Whatever number you get there, so like let's say that you're Budweiser and you've got 6, that's the percentage of 100. So like you're selling 6 beers out of 100 beers.
Right. A couple of years ago, Budweiser had 6% of the beer market in America.
Turns out that that Budweiser label has been losing market share rapidly.
2 quarters ago, so the second quarter of 2019.
I remember it well.
Budweiser lost 1.35 percentage points of market share in America.
Turns out, last quarter, it got even worse. It lost 1.75 points of market share.
So it used to have 6% market share of American beer.
So like 6 out of every 100 beers.
Now it's down to 3%. Really bad sign for
your flagship
beer brand.
Not something you want to see. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Budweiser?
AB InBev's plan is to take all of its beers and create a seltzer version of it.
It basically wants to like copy-paste Control-S this whole thing. The S being seltzerify its beer.
Sparkling seltzer is rapidly evolving.
Jack's using air quotes.
According to the men wearing suits at AB InBev.
But Budweiser wants to jump in. So what AB InBev is doing is it's launching so many sparkling seltzers, they're mimicking exactly what the beers are. They've got like a top shelf
version.
They've got a mid-shelf, kind of mid-tier casual version.
And then a college frat juice version.
They got something you can throw on the beer pong table.
So the top one is called Bon and Vive.
The flavor, by the way, their main flavor, Clementine Hibiscus.
You're not getting that in the basement of ADP.
Put that on my chest and massage me, please. It sounds like a spa thing.
That's AB InBev's first ever official hard seltzer.
All right, so that's on the higher end. On the lower end, they've got Natty Light. By the way, core flavor here?
What?
Catalina Lime Mixer.
That's a stepbrother reference.
Kind of beats up the Clementine a little bit.
And then, this is the flagship one coming out soon. They haven't said when.
Bud Light Seltzer.
Bud Light Seltzer.
So if you're AB InBev, you're reacting to what's happening with Budweiser by going all in on sparkling seltzer. For our second story, Airbus has become the top airplane maker of 2019. This thing's official.
This story is about Airbus and Boeing.
Do you get like a trophy for this kind of thing?
Maybe you get one of those model airplanes.
They like bring you up to first class. Like
they give you wings that you can get on your shirt.
Bring those back, please.
Now, Boeing and Airbus, one of the great duopolies of this world.
Right, two companies that are dominating in basically each
They together have a monopoly on the
you
whole
got
industry.
NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange.
You got Coke and you got Pepsi.
You got the F-150 and the Silverado.
You got Uber Lyft going on right now.
Britney and Christina in the 2000s. So with just 2 months left, the race is already won by Airbus.
Okay, we got a scorecard here.
Airbus has delivered 557 airplanes.
Nice number. They wanted to hit that 600, I'm sure. Someone had that up there somewhere.
Well, it's got 2 months left.
That's pretty cool.
Boeing, on the other hand, has only delivered 300.
Now, Boeing, as a company, it's based in Chicago and Washington State. They got a kind of dual situation
there. I think corporate is in Chicago,
right,
and manufacturing is outside of Seattle.
Washingtonians are very proud of their Boeing roots.
Airbus,
yeah,
on the other hand.
Oh, my God. This is like a... This is a beautiful thing.
It's like the European Union of corporations.
This is literally like the Disney ride. It's a small world after all. Yeah,
it was created in 2000 with the merger of a French, German, and British aerospace company.
It's actually a charming metaphor.
The headquarters are in Toulouse, France.
Okay,
but it's got manufacturing and employees all across the European
Union. Now, here's the thing about Airbus stock. It's up 45% this year.
Not too shabby.
Pretty impressive. It's actually never been in more demand.
Well, I think we all know why.
Yeah, we know why. Because Boeing 737 MAX has cast a shadow on pretty much all things Boeing right now.
Get this. Southwest Airlines,
yep,
has been monogamous, faithful relationship with the Boeing 737 since it started.
It's
40 years ago.
Beautiful thing. They're like high school sweethearts.
Yes.
Kind of situation.
Yeah. Even Southwest is thinking about switching airplane manufacturers because they're so disgusted with the 737.
Boeing stock, on the other hand, is actually up, but only 5% this year.
It's shocking that it's up, and yeah, we'll explain why. Because the 737 MAX crisis, you know, all of their 737 MAXs have been grounded
yeah,
since March.
They're literally stuck leaving them in like the air, or in like the
parking
lots.
Yeah. It's cost the company $9 billion so far. The CEO had to step down as the chairman of the company.
But the thought is long term, this won't have a huge impact on sales. It's more of a short term thing.
By the way, before we hit the takeaway, Airbus's earnings report come out Wednesday. It's a publicly traded
stock. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Airbus?
Airbus stock is up because of pricing power.
Airbus has a 9-year backlog of plane orders. You want to get on one of their planes? Yeah, good luck. You're going to be like a different person in 9 years.
If you're Southwest and you've been waiting for 7 months for your 737 MAX to be delivered, yeah, you can't just go like, oh, I'm going to Airbus. Airbus, can I have a plane instead?
There's no 1-800 number. Boom, you're gone. You got your plane.
Airbus is going to be like, sure, you could buy one of our planes.
Get in line.
Get in line. Line takes 9 years.
Take a ticket. We're on number 3. Yours is 62. Like a deli.
So Airbus stock isn't up because it's selling more planes. It's already maxed out on how many planes it can sell.
But Airbus is now a premium brand, so it has the leverage, because Boeing's kind of out of the picture temporarily, to charge a higher price.
Yeah, so it can charge higher prices to customers. It can actually demand like a lower price from its suppliers.
This is Airbus exercising its pricing power.
Boeing, on the other hand, long term, we think it'll be fine because it's in a duopoly and its customers are kind of stuck with it unless they want to wait 9 years.
Our third and final story, this one is fascinating. Waste Management just revealed what it's doing with recycling, and the stock is up 26% this year.
I just ordered Chinese food on DoorDash.
I know what's happening.
I swear there were 27 containers involved in my two-person meal.
I ordered a meal the other day. I got a container with no food in it. They just gave me an extra container.
This is so frustrating.
It's incredibly difficult. Yeah,
I, you know, we're partly to blame. I said it. It's one of the great inconvenient truths of our generation, the waste of delivery.
But we got curious about the company Waste Management because they just reported earnings. The stock dipped down like 2%, but they're in an interesting situation.
They're the yin to your like DoorDash delivery obsession yang.
Right, because you're buying stuff, it's got to go somewhere. That's where their business model comes in.
Basically, all consumer goods that we buy eventually
end up
in the trash, and that's where Waste Management steps in.
So here's what Jack and I found so fascinating about Waste Management. They're not just making money on your waste. They're making money on the other side too. They're making money on two different ends of the product. Let's start things off with
two different ends of the trash.
The collection and disposables business.
This business is pretty straightforward.
Right.
When you put stuff in a dumpster or you put stuff in that huge like building trash can that you and your neighbors share.
Yep.
Waste Management comes by once a week and it takes it away.
Right. Let's say your buddy Timmy threw something in there. Waste Management's going to take it away. They're going to charge your building for this situation.
Now, revenues in collection and disposal grew 2.6% last quarter compared to the year before.
Right, because you're buying sparkling seltzer, you're buying bralettes, you're buying DoorDash, you're doing Shake Shack. All that stuff's ending up with Waste Management and they're getting paid to take it away.
And like the landlord pays for it, or maybe you pay for it if you're a residential.
All right, so they get rid of all that stuff. But then here's the other thing. They're also making money off the recycling end.
Yes. A lot of the trash ends up in a landfill, and that's why it's important to minimize your waste.
Exactly.
But some of that trash can be recycled, and waste management makes money off it.
Right. They're turning that trash into gold, like literally in some cases, and then they're selling it. For example, let's say those sparkling seltzers that your buddy Timmy just finished and you guys recycled, those are going to be processed by waste management. They're getting the fee just to take them.
Right. And then Coca-Cola is making, you know, their bubbly or whatever, their sparkling water. And they need some cans, so they're going to buy those recycled goods from waste management.
Here's the funny thing with waste management's recycling right now. We noticed the revenues dropped a whopping 27%, and there are two key reasons for this.
One is commodity prices.
Right.
So the aluminum can that Coca-Cola is buying from waste management that came out of your trash, that's got a price. Aluminum has a price, and it's not up to waste management how much that price
is. Right. Copper, aluminum, plastics, other metals, their prices are determined in global commodities markets. And then whatever waste management can sell that product for, it's based on that commodities price.
So commodity prices are down. That's one reason waste management's recycling revenues are down.
The other reason is that 30% of the recycled materials that waste management was processing, China was buying them.
China is a historic long-term buyer of America's trash.
Because they want
the part that's recycled.
They're going to get your stuff. They're going to reprocess it because they're manufacturing so many things.
But this is kind of partly a trade war thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
China has stopped buying recyclable materials from the U.S. And now we just have like, we're like, wait, you don't want this? You don't want this recycled stuff? We're like at the ports trying to drop it off. It's kind of a crisis in America right now, recycling and waste management is dealing with it.
But waste management's trying to find some more American firms to make up for China not buying its stuff anymore. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over waste management?
Waste management has a financial incentive to help the environment.
Recycling is good for the environment and it's good for humanity. But waste management, it's not just doing this for like charity.
No, it's doing it to make money.
It's making money on both ends, as we just pointed out.
Sometimes there is a financial incentive to do good. And that's like this case. Other times there is not a financial incentive and the government has to step in, like greenhouse gases.
In this case, this is how capitalism can work. It's the market-based solution that waste management's fault.
So a top initiative for waste management right now is consumer education. They want to make sure people are recycling correctly so we minimize waste and so that waste management can sell more recyclables.
Consumer education, like pamphlets and stuff, and the thing posted up, the PSAs with like the little boy who's recycling and having fun and smiling.
Sounds like nonprofit work.
It does.
No, it's a for-profit company called Waste Management.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to start the week?
AB InBev is creating a seltzer version of a bunch of its drinks.
And the U.S. market share of Budweiser keeps losing market share.
Airbus has maximum swagger right now, officially crushing Boeing as the plane maker of 2019.
It's flexing its pricing power Airbus style.
Third and final story, waste management is trying to be a leader in recycling.
We just need a song about how you can recycle. That'd be pretty critical.
Yeah, what bins to put it in, how to clean it.
April, June, and November, 30 days, half September, something like that.
We need something like that.
Someone just give us something
to help us remember where to recycle and how.
In the meantime, we've got our snack fact. This one, like a second one we got from Justin Cram in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Justin. Baseball season, kind of ending.
In honor of the World Series, we want to bring you back to the history of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Conceived and written by one Jack Northworth in all 1908.
Yeah, you wonder why he mentions Cracker Jacks in the song. His name was Jack, the guy who wrote it.
And Cracker Jacks was apparently like 150 years old, we just found out.
Yeah, we were fact-checking this. Jack Northworth wrote the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game in 1908. He'd never been to a baseball game before and didn't for another 30 years.
And now he's had a legacy. It's actually kind of impressive.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Snackers, T-Boy Tuesday was last week. We got to congratulate Jesse Kerr of Portland, Oregon, who is the winner, suggesting Adam Scott should play Travis in the upcoming Uber TV show.
Adam Scott is either a really, really nice guy in his roles or
always
a total jerk.
It's one of the extreme or the other.
Now, this week's T-Boy Tuesday.
This one I am so excited about.
Best business Halloween costume idea.
It could be a profit puppy.
It could be a profit puppy.
It could be something
We have else. Some great ones already on Twitter. Submit one on Twitter right now, at Robin Hood Snacks, for your chance to win a T-Boy t-shirt.
We want to hear your ideas. The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets, Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.